This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief from The Advocate, is with us, and he has a front page story. Mark is one of those reporters who can cover anything, including the weather, and this is about rolling blackouts. But before we get there, we were visiting with Clarence Page, the Pulitzer Prize winner, whose words often appear in The Advocate, and we were discussing the legacy of Limbaugh. And for those of us who've lived in Baton Rouge, we can remember Rush Limbaugh back in the late 80s, early 90s. He was the talk of the town, and he had these Rush to Excellence tours. I think he had one or two of them at the Centroplex, and drew a packed house, and he was quite popular in conservative circles, Mark, and I think he had an impact on Louisiana. He came along right at the same time that David Duke made a big splash and almost got elected to the U.S. Senate against Bennett Johnston, and then got 60% of the white vote or thereabouts against Edwin Edwards in the 1991 race for governor. What about his impact on conservatism and the way it has evolved through the years?
I mean, I think that, I mean, we can easily see it, that he turned talk radio into something that was basically, chatting about potholes and in the neighborhood streets into this kind of very entertaining, but also very aggressive and angry talk and on the radio about politics. I mean, I think that, you know, the insults, the insult way, and the humor, and the anger, and the exasperation over liberals and feminazis and all of them, kind of opened the way for Donald Trump. I mean, because he pretty much followed the same sort of pattern mm-hmm. when he ran for president.
I remember Woody Jenkins when he was running for re-election to a state house seat. He was opposed by a lady named Sandy Ashby, and he called her a liberal wacko feminazi. And I wonder where he got those words. I think, yeah. I know. And Rush, he influenced conservatives all over the country and did spawn many imitators who not any of them were as good as he was. He was an entertainer, but he also was a man who spread lies and hadn't, as I stated, had very little to back it up as far as his own personal life. But he became a millionaire many times over, a cult hero. And he got the Presidential Medal of Freedom last year at about this time. That was a bizarre scene, wasn't it?
It was. I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I kind of remember him getting the Medal of Freedom in the balcony during the State of the Union.
That is correct.
Because, I mean, I was thinking, well, don't they usually do this in the East Room of the White House? But
yeah, it was.
But it looked good on TV, I guess, you know. Yeah, I mean, it looked like he was about to cry and all of that.
Sort of thing. And he had been told he was going to get it, too. And yet he pretended like, who, me, what? And it played well. And Donald Trump that night spoke glowingly about Rush Hudson Limbaugh III and said next to nothing about coronavirus. And boom, we ended up having a pandemic that has affected life as we know it ever since. And we've got some folks waiting in line, and I'm sure many want to continue the discussion about Limbaugh. But Mark, of course, is well-versed on anything else you have in mind. But 877-217-5757, Jim and Walker. Jim, you're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Jim.
Morning, gentlemen.
Yes,
Joseph Goebbels did a lot for, you know, populism and propaganda and hate speech and stuff like that, and we don't really, you know, celebrate people like that. And I, just because he did something, if the underlying message was nothing but hate, exactly why are we celebrating anything about Rush? Let's just play Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, and move on.
All right. I don't think we're celebrating him, but we're discussing him because of his impact, and it was enormous. And it continues, and I am very eager to see who takes his place. And it could be Donald John Trump, and that would be a megaphone that would equal Twitter or perhaps surpass Twitter. And the question is whether Trump wants to work that hard. And I'll say this for Limbaugh is that he made it look easy, as Larry King did, as Johnny Carson did, but he did a job that is not easy, and 3 hours a day on the air is a tough slog, and he did it with great talent, and he had talent, but he also spread misinformation, and he did so that with an undercurrent of rage and hate, and he instilled a lot of emotion in people that was not good. And I liked what our first caller with Clarence Page said, Lance in Branch, Louisiana, saying there's a direct line from Limbaugh to what happened on January 6th, Mark Ballard.
Well, I think so, because he was one of the biggest purveyors of the lie. I mean, you go back to President Obama's not being an American. You can go back even further than that. But he did perpetrate the thought that Joe Biden had stolen the election, and even on the day of the storming of the Capitol, I believe he was telling his radio listeners that that Biden was illegitimate. So, I mean, I think that he stoked a lot of that anger, and I think that you see that in the myriad of conservative talk show hosts that are around today.
Bill, south of LSU. Bill, you're on Talk Louisiana with Mark Ballard. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Jim. It's been more than 72 hours since the power went off Monday morning. Three shivering dark nights at 54 degrees. Entergy needs to change its name to Explainergy, because they always have a story about why they can't get it done and why it's not happening out there. As if the power ever comes on again. Are you there?
Yes, I'm listening. We're listening.
I am going to write to Dr. Green at the Public Service Commission, urging him to initiate a probe, and I mean the prostate exam type probe of this incident and why Entergy can't get it done.
Where do you live, Bill?
Pardon me?
Where do you live?
I live south of LSU off Highland Road between Woodgate and Kenilworth.
All right, so nice area. And you're without power, and it's 54 degrees, and you're getting angrier as 72 hours have passed. And
I might as well live in Texas.
All right. Well, you wouldn't want to do that. We wouldn't want to lose one of our good ones. But, Mark, the rage that Bill and south of LSU is expressing right now is replicated by many in our listening audience, I'm sure, who are very frustrated about what's going on. And your front page story is state to probe causes of rolling blackouts. What do you think?
I think the PSC has heard a lot from people like him, and so that's what they're trying to get at. There are other issues that they think about the lack of adequate regulation and kind of a greed factor on the suppliers of natural gas, the fuel that actually runs the generators that make the electricity. Problems with the grid, and they're looking at a lot of those kinds of issues, and I imagine that. But will there be a reckoning? I mean, I too was sitting here. I got to tell that I was without power for over 48, maybe 50 hours, and as I sat in my house and is watching it, it was 38 degrees for me when the power finally came on. That my thoughts were not pleasant towards Entergy either, though there is an issue of the fact that we're a deep south state with normally mild winters, and this is just not something that is planned for in the deep south. I mean, it's a, and we can say, well, damn it, what should be planned for, why not? But then you gotta, how many snow blowers and trucks do we have to remove snow and ice from the roadways in South Louisiana? And I got to say, I got to say none, but maybe one or two, but I don't know where they're at. So they weren't really prepared for something as catastrophic as this polar vortex.
Isaac in Sherwood. Isaac, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning to your guests. Jim, I'm a over-the-road truck driver. I've been in Rush Limbaugh since 1982.
Well, not 82. He didn't come on until 88.
Well, somewhere around. I might have had a date wrong, but for a long time. That man said them cup $5 a piece. No reason he's over with his audience. If everybody buy a cup, he gets rich. And them neckties.
All right,
yeah. Yeah, you know, I just wanted to say, and I was just laughing at how everybody talk about him, you know. I didn't wish no death on the man, but the man had a way with him. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you. He used to say when somebody would die that they assumed room temperature, and Rush yesterday, at the age of 70, assumed room temperature. And I remarked with Clarence Page, Mark, that he died 25 days after Larry King. They were fierce rivals that didn't like each other. In fact, Rush Limbaugh even had the gumption to call Larry King, who had been married nine times to eight women, called him Mary King. And here's Rush Limbaugh, who's been married four times. And he didn't have a very good record there either. Two of the marriages, the weddings, were attended by one James Carville. And the last one, just to show you that Rush, a lot of this was just showbiz, he paid Elton John $1 million to sing at his wedding, and Elton accepted, but a lot of conservatives certainly wouldn't like Elton John.
Well, that is true. He was not a friend of the LGBT community.
Not at all. Not at all.
But then it also goes to show that this was primarily entertainment, and though we've adopted it as, you know, political truth, but it is primarily entertainment.
And Rush was laughing all the way to the bank, taking the conservative cash for more than 30 years, and he had a $40 million home in Florida where he died yesterday at 70. We'll return for another segment with Mark Ballard of The Advocate. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. We're in the home stretch with Mark Ballard of The Advocate and Matt Doyle producing. Let's go to Jim in University Hills. Jim, you're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning to you, Jim.
Hey, I'm actually calling from the Stone Age. I haven't had power since Sunday night, and it's very cold without any power. I do have hot water. That helps. But, you know, what I'm seeing here is it's, you know, a tree down, a power line down. I think my landline is down also. So, you know, a couple of point fixes and 200 of us will be back online here. It's please.
Well, it's a mess out there, and as Mark said, we're not accustomed to this kind of thing, but we do have this thing called climate change, and Mark, we may be facing this kind of thing for as long as you and I can see, for sure.
Yeah, and I'm not scientist enough to know what this is. If you know how much climate change is impacting all of this, but it just seems like we've been having far more intense storms. What, we have eight tropical events over the summer, and then this polar vortex. I don't ever recall it being this cold for this long.
Patrick in Oswalda States, you're on with Mark. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, two quick things. Rush was also very fun to listen to, and he had a great sense of humor, and he was right pretty much 100% of the time. But about the energy, I guess, you know, we probably should get used to this because we've shut down fracking on federal land. We shut down the pipeline, and we're committing a lot of resources to solar and wind, and we really need to start looking at nuclear energy. And you know, I think this is going to be something we're going to be used to here in the near future.
All right, Patrick. Well, the governor.
Well, I think we're going to get used to it, but not for the reasons that you're naming, because the renewable energy is, you know, about 1% in of the fuel mix in Louisiana, and I know that Texas Governor Greg Abbott made a big to-do about it. You know, the blame, putting all of the blame on renewables, but it's less than 7% in Texas. So, I mean, I think that the real issue here is that we don't have plants that are built for handling the amount of power necessary when everybody runs their furnaces full blast, full time, for a long time.
Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana, you're on with Mark Ballard. Hi, Henry.
Hello, Mr. Jim. Hello, Mr. Mark. Hope you all having a great day. First of all, on Mr. Limbaugh, I don't find a hell of a lot of humor in bigotry and hate and ridiculing people. Maybe that's just me, but that's the way I am. I'm more for positive stuff. And I wonder who's going to funeralize them. You know, if Trump were still in office, he'd have a state funeral, but I wonder if they've come up with a committee to funeralize the guy. On the electric thing, God help Gulf States or Entergy if Foster Campbell can get the votes and him run the investigation, because Foster Campbell's the only one that gives a damn about you and me. Thank you all very much. Have a great day.
All right. Thank you, Henry. I'm sure.
Well, that's true. He does have a big say. But Eric, Commissioner Eric Scarmetta, who was Trump's
campaign manager.
Director, yeah, in Louisiana, is very angry about this. And I think that he also is going to try to get to the bottom of it as well.
James in Metairie. Hi, James. You're on with Mark.
Hey, good morning to you, Jim, and to Mark. You know, Jim, you talked about Larry King. People are saying, which question did Larry King ask the most during his career? And the answer is, will you marry me? a question from Mark. Any viable rumors around Baton Rouge about John Bel Edwards possibly taking a job in the Biden administration?
Not viable. There was talk that he was being offered the job to be the ambassador to the Vatican, and he obviously said no to that. He didn't do it. There is talk that he may run for the U.S. Senate, but again, there's been nothing really to support that, in that his people are not out there raising money or securing the type of coalitions that you would need to be doing that. So far, and I can't, because this could all change, today, there hasn't been any realistic movement towards another job.
Well, John Kennedy is the person up for re-election next year, and John Bel Edwards would be a formidable candidate against Senator Kennedy, as would somebody like Garrett Graves. But Kennedy, who voted to acquit President Trump, unlike Senator Cassidy, who voted to convict him, has been suspiciously quiet, which is not in his DNA. What's going on with our junior senator?
Again, that's a question that baffles me, because usually he does not miss it. What's the old line about the most dangerous space is between John Kennedy and the camera? And we have not seen him talking. He's not been volunteering. I have been asking for weeks now for just a word, and nothing.
And one of your columnists occasionally, Quinn Hillier, has an op-ed piece in Today's Advocate. Now, he's a guest on this show, as we know, every now and then. And he notes that the Republican Party in Louisiana has censured Bill Cassidy for voting to convict Donald Trump and would not censure David Duke, a neo-Nazi. It is an interesting juxtaposition.
And I think it has mostly to do with, with Donald Trump, because this is basically, has he shown enough fealty towards Donald Trump? As we're in a state that loves us some Donald Trump, and so I think that's where a lot of that comes down. But it is ironic, and that they would censure Bill Cassidy but not David Duke.
Yeah, and as I have mentioned a few times this week, in the 11 states of the Southeastern Conference, the vote to acquit Donald Trump was 19-3 among the U.S. senators, and the three who voted to convict were the two Democrats, Warnock and Ossoff of Georgia, and one Republican, William Morgan Cassidy of Louisiana. 19-3 to acquit. The rest of the country voted 54-24 to convict President Donald John Trump for inciting an insurrection. 877-217-5757. Phil in Jefferson Terrace has been waiting patiently. Hi, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi, Jim. Hey, Mark. The saying that a lie has gone around the world twice about the truth, just getting out of bed and putting his pants on, the big lie costs a lot of money. Can you talk about the origins of Rush? I know Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch had some hands in getting him started.
All right. Well, Roger Ailes produced Rush's ill-fated television show, But the guy who gave Rush the big break, moving him from anonymity in Kansas City to Sacramento, where his career took off, was a relatively unknown person. And the irony is that this gentleman who Rush has correctly mentioned, who started his career, was a gay man who died with AIDS. And here Rush, as you noted, Mark, frequently ridiculed the gay community and even had as a theme song for AIDS victims, "I'll Never Love This Way Again" from Dionne Warwick. He was really a creep when it came to his acceptance of other people who he liked to ridicule, and he loved to ridicule gay people. I remember he also used to ridicule Barney Frank quite a bit, but he can credit his career to a gay man.
It, which brings me back to, I think that this was mostly entertainment value, is that because, you know, he made fun of people, and that was humorous for some, and it kind of reinforced an agenda, a political agenda for some. And but I kind of think that that just that it was part of a show, I think.
Yeah, well, it sold well, and he found that there is a lot of money in conservatism, and he caught the wave. And I also mentioned with Clarence Page that liberals on radio have not fared well. We had this thing called Talk America, and it didn't work at all. It was a failure.
I remember that. And yeah. It was largely because it was sort of boring. And I wonder, you know, Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson and that whole range of talk radios, are they going to... They're just not as entertaining as Rush Limbaugh was, and I wonder how long or if, you know, that they will have near the impact.
Well, he was the heavyweight champion of talk radio and lasted more than 30 years, and he lasted through several marriages. He lasted through an arrest. He was arrested for peddling Viagra into the country under a false prescription. He was arrested. He was not arrested, but he was investigated for doctor shopping in the addiction he had for OxyContin. He lost his hearing at one point. He continued to do a show where producers were actually writing in the words as they happened and taking calls. It was an amazing accomplishment to be able to do a radio show without being able to hear, but Limbaugh did it. But yesterday, at the age of 70, Rush Limbaugh assumed room temperature. Mark Ballard, let's hope you and I don't assume room temperature anytime soon.
Actually, it'll be warmer than my house is right now.
Well, right now it's 38 degrees at the Ballard House in the Garden District. Are you still without power?
No. We got it back late Tuesday night. So, but my heater still hasn't caught up.
Well, that's good that you got it back, and we'll catch up with you next week. Thanks, Mark. Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan. Stay safe. Stay tuned.